science.
Rock lobsters, apples, the apocalypse. Research Filter has got it all today. Here to guide us through it is Carl Smith. He's a science journalist with the ABC. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Hey, Patricia.
Why would seismic air guns be used to flip rock lobsters upside down? Because just, I don't even get this. Sounds like kind of science has perhaps taken a step too far this time.
Yeah, maybe the B-52s were right. They were worried about those rock lobsters and wanted to bat them away with air guns. No, there was a study that's just come out yesterday looking at the effect of what are called seismic air gun tests that are used in geological surveys for oil and gas exploration on invertebrates, so rock lobsters. There have been a bunch of new studies out quite recently looking at the effects of these air gun tests on all sorts of creatures, but it's the first time they've looked at the effect on lobsters. And yeah, there were some pretty nasty consequences if you shoot a giant, loud underwater air gun at poor little rock lobsters. The first problem is they struggle to flip themselves back over, partly because the researchers in this study think they've damaged the internal balance organ inside the lobsters.
Okay, so what are they trying to get at here?
Well, they're worried that if we're doing all of this geological surveying and testing through places like the Great Australian Bight and off the coast of Tasmania, and it is used quite a lot by oil and gas exploration companies, then we might be damaging underwater sea life. And these air gun tests, they're quite loud. I mean, we're talking 200 decibels, which converts to sort of 140 to 180 decibels underwater, and that's still very dangerous if it was hitting our ears in the air. And so researchers haven't really kind of paid much attention to underwater noise in the past, and they wanted to make sure that all of this exploration testing wasn't harming sea life. But if you shoot these guns off between 100 and 500 meters of these lobsters, they had significant problems with righting themselves, getting back up so that they're standing underwater. And they had some significant damage to the hairs in their internal balance organ.
So are the researchers calling on the oil and gas industries to make any changes in the wake of this? Is there enough scientific evidence now for that call to be made?
Well, it's interesting. There have been quite a few new studies in this space. Others have looked at the impact on plankton, and they found that these underwater bursts can kill plankton up to 1 kilometer away, which is pretty incredible. And they found that they do seem to interrupt with the sonar communication of whales and perhaps also dolphins. And I think this is just such a new area of research that we don't have good foundations in terms of what's there in the science and the impact of these tests. So the researchers aren't necessarily calling at this stage for, you know, a ban on any of this kind of stuff. But they are saying, look, this is obviously causing some damage. We're learning how it's damaging different creatures underwater. So maybe we need to rethink when and how and where we're testing using these underwater air guns.
Now, let's move on to another topic. If you're cracking into a crisp, juicy apple while listening to RN Drive tonight, you might want to switch off the radio for this next bit. A new study into bacteria levels in and on apples. I eat like maybe 4 apples a day. I'm mad for an apple and I'm very disturbed. Talk me through it.
Well, I mean, apples are one of the most common fruits consumed worldwide. And there were some Austrian researchers who released a paper yesterday in Frontiers in Microbiology that was looking at just how many bacteria are living in and on an apple and whether there was a difference between organic apples and conventionally harvested apples. And they found that regardless of how they're harvested and farmed, you've got about 100 million bacteria on or in each apple that you eat. And that sounds like quite a lot, but at the same time, bacteria are everywhere. They're on us, they're in us, they're on everything that we eat already. But what was quite interesting was looking at what types of bacteria were there and how that might impact the flavor of the apple, whether there are any harmful bacteria, and also how that impacts our gut microbiome as well.
Is it bad news? Does bacteria just equal bad, or is it more complex than that?
Not necessarily. I mean, the researchers did find that in some of the conventionally farmed apples, there were some potentially harmful bacteria in there. That doesn't mean that, you know, every apple you buy off a supermarket shelf is going to have harmful bacteria or make you sick. It's just that these bacteria have been associated with some foodborne disease before. So they cautioned this and said, oh, well, look, maybe organic are going to be slightly healthier in terms of foodborne viruses sometimes in some instances. The other thing that they found quite interesting was where the bacteria were living. So the majority of the bacteria are living on the core, around the seeds and around the stem and so on. So for those people who eat the whole apple, they're getting way more bacteria, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. We know that our gut microbiome, the bacteria, bugs that we have inside our stomach, that affects all sorts of things, and we're learning more about how it can affect our health and even our mental health now as well. So having a good diversity or a good range of bacteria in our stomach can be good. So it's not necessarily saying, oh, this is bad, bacteria are bad. This is just saying, look, let's have a look at how many bacteria are living, where they're living on apples, and how might that impact upon our body.
And finally, before I let you go, you've just dropped the new series of ABCRN Science Friction. It's all about the apocalypse, as you do. Tell me more. Is the end near? What should I do? Should I get stockpiles of beans?
Well, I was really interested to figure out how prepared society is for big natural disasters. You know, we have pockmarks all over the planet. Giant asteroids have struck us before. We know giant supervolcanoes have erupted in the past, and we know that the sun can sometimes shoot big, nasty, scary bursts our way. So I worked with Science Friction's regular presenter, Natasha Mitchell, to put together a couple of case studies. So how harmful can these events be? How much warning do we have? How prepared are we as a society? And can we do anything about them? And it was really interesting. There's a lot of really kind of cutting edge science in this space in terms of detecting these events, also understanding from historical records how destructive they can be. But there are even instances now where we can do stuff about them because science and technology has advanced to a point where we can potentially deflect an asteroid. There's a NASA mission in 2021-22 called DART, the Double Asteroid Redirect Test, where NASA's Planetary Defense Officer, yes, that's his actual job title, is firing a satellite at an asteroid to knock it out of orbit from a bigger asteroid. And if we can do that, then maybe if an asteroid was coming our way, we might be able to use that as a blueprint to stop that big, nasty asteroid that could be plummeting towards Earth one day.
You interviewed members of the group Australian Preppers, who reckon we should make use of our old World War II bunkers around the place. Are they built strong enough to save us from this potential annihilation?
Well, I went with the head of Australian Preppers down to just a golf course in La Perouse in sort of the middle of Sydney and down by the cliffs. And he showed me these bunkers that he and members of his survival team had scoped out. They abseiled down there, figured out what was in there. They're officially off limits to the public, but he says it's better to be prepared than to be ill-prepared. So he carries a bag with him, a survival bag everywhere. He's scoped out these bunkers. He even has like a little space out in the bush somewhere where he's mapped it out, and he figures that's going to be where he rebuilds if something catastrophic happened.
Wow. It's good to plan. Carl Smith, it's been good to plan with you too. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Patricia.
Carl Smith is a science journalist at the ABC. News is next. After ABC News, we're unpacking the US Special Counsel Robert Mueller's testimony before Congress. Everything you need to know after the news. It's News Time at 7.